John chapter 10. I do not have an overhead, so you're it's old school. You might get prepared for that on Wednesday night for sure, and more often on Sunday night as well, but not on Sunday morning. I will use the PowerPoint, but on those other times, I'm going to use it less and less here. John chapter 10, I'm going to just read a few verses. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, I'm just going to share some thoughts that came to me from verse 9. But let me read it from verse 7 to 10. Then Jesus said to them, really talking to the Pharisees, most assuredly. Now that was his way of saying, now listen, this is the authority of, with all of his authority was stating this. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. That's a word picture that's powerful if you were a shepherd. May not mean much to us, but I'll come back and explain it very briefly. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And then he goes and says this statement again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He went on to say, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That last verse one could preach from. That's what it's talking about. When we really come to know Jesus Christ, our life is full. We have peace where we once couldn't find peace because we have a certainty of eternity. We have a certainty of tomorrow. We have a certainty for today. We have His presence. The Spirit of God lives within us. All of those blessings. But looking at verse, first of all, this concept of the door. I am the door. That is, the picture that is before us is the way they used to pen up the sheep, and the shepherd would be the gate. He would lay across the one opening to this fenced-in area, and the sheep would not be able to go in and out because they wouldn't jump over the shepherd. The shepherd literally sleep there. He would stay there, and he would guard and protect them. He is saying Jesus is the way. He is stating that Jesus, He is the one and only way to be reconciled to God the Father. We are told in Scripture, in no uncertain ways, in Romans chapter 3, as an example, 10 through 12, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. There is no, not one. He's talking about righteous, properly standing without sin before a holy God. None of us. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. Boy, that's a broad statement. There's none of us. Unless the Father gets involved, unless the Spirit of God gets involved, unless Jesus gets involved, we don't even go and look for God. That's a work of the Spirit of God. That He does. By the way, it's one of the ways you can tell that God's at work in a person's life, that they're seeking answers about Jesus. And then they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. You know who He's talking about? All of humanity. By nature, we are sinners, and we have this tendency to go astray. We're like sheep that go astray. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Because of our own sins, we're just a long ways from God. And then Jesus Christ intervenes, and He brings us near. It's by His blood, it says. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, verse 10, it says, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It is God's work. You know what? He is at work in our own community, in our own families, in some cases in our own hearts. I remember clearly how God started to seek me out. And I look back in those days, and it's just beautiful and encouraging to me as I start, after I came to know Christ and understood the gospel message more clearly and understood what had happened to me, I started to look back and see these different people that God had brought into my life that caused me to have a curiosity about the biblical truths and ultimately led me to understand who Jesus is. There is a gap between humanity and God. There's no question about that. And Jesus is the door. He is the connector. He is the way. And without Him, there's no hope to connect with God the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 14, just a couple chapters later, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, in our pluralistic culture, that doesn't go over well, but it doesn't matter whether it's popular or not. The Word of God says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He says it in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other." If the Bible is the Word of God, you can draw no other conclusion, and I believe it is, that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to have a relationship that has eternal value, that connects us with God the Father in such a way that we become one of His. He's saying, through me, through a personal relationship, through the door, I am the door. It is not through church membership. It's not through all these thoughts like we think of confirmation. It's not through being a good person. It is through Jesus. And we need to come to Him understanding that we have all sinned. We have all turned and gone our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we come to Him as the solution to our sin problem. Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to God the Father. The second part was in that next phrase. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." That "me" is emphatic. I used that term before, last Sunday. Emphatic means he would, if we were trying to say it in the English language and be emphatic, we would say, "If anyone enters in by me, myself," there was an emphasis on that word, that, and he was focusing on himself. "If anyone enters by Jesus Christ," he's saying, "he will be saved." In the original language, the saved, be saved part is passive. Now, to some, that means nothing, but here's what it ought to mean to you. When it is a passive verb, it says that he didn't save himself, but through Jesus Christ, he can be saved by God. God does the saving. God did it by sending His Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That was His initiative. He took it and went to the cross. We need to be comforted by the fact that we'll be saved, which means there's a security if we really know Jesus. I stand before you comfortable that I don't care what happens in the future, I have a certainty in my heart and the testimony of the Spirit of God in accordance with the Word of God, that when I take my last breath, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with God. I have confidence in that, not based on who I am, but based on my relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ lives within me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a beautiful truth. And Romans chapter 8, verse 16 tells us that the God's Spirit and my spirit ought to have a testimony, and I can recognize that testimony of the presence of His Spirit in my life, and it gives me assurance. John chapter 6 says this, "All that the Father give me," Jesus was speaking, "all that the Father give me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." When we come, because the Father gave, and we get connected with Jesus, Jesus says, "You're in." He says in chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me." Isn't that a beautiful truth? There is an awareness. When you really come to know Jesus Christ, you stop wondering. you know. Now, I say that as someone who lived 27 years without really connecting with Jesus, and I had some really doubting times. But when I really connected, there was a testimony that I was secure. That's why Romans says that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword? What's the answer to that? No, nothing. Nothing can separate me. I'm secure. So Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to God. Jesus is all we need. He really is all we need for peace and security. And that is being saved. He has rescued us from all of the problems with a particular focus in the overall passage on eternity. But Jesus is all we need for today and tomorrow as well. Notice how it says, and we'll go in and out and find pasture. That's talking, that's in the active tense. And so it's talking about us going in and out and living about, going about life. Psalms chapter 56, verse 11 says this. This is a sweet verse. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know what the answer to that is? What man could do in its very worst is, from our perspective, torture us unto death. But when I take my last breath, I am secure in the Savior's hands. I'm home for all eternity and a better life. And by the way, the Word of God makes it very clear that this is not the main event. This is simply a short period of time, and so we should not hold on to it as if it is the main event. I mentioned this verse to you on Sunday because I'm in the process of memorizing. It's John chapter 14, verse 21. Turn in there in your Bibles, if you would. This is a sweet verse. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, He who has my commandments, okay, in other words, understands the teaching of God, the commandments of God, and keeps them. That's an interesting addition, isn't it? Not only, he isn't just wanting us to be intellectually aware of them, he wants us to be volitionally committed to them. We're going to do it with all of our heart. Notice he says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. You want to demonstrate your love for Jesus Christ? Be obedient. Keep his commandments. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Isn't that a beautiful truth? And he goes on to say, Jesus is speaking, and I will love him. And then what is he going to do? He's going to manifest myself to him. Do you want to see Jesus alive in your world in which you're living? Love Jesus and keep his commandments. Look, go down. If you're there in that passage, just go down a couple of verses. Verse 23, notice how parallel it is. And Jesus in answer said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That sounds consistent with what was said before. And my Father will love him. The same thought is reinforced again. And we will come to him, talking about God the Father and Jesus, and make our home with him. God will take up residence in us. The Word of God tells about how when we are genuinely one of his, God takes up residence and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it isn't because we've earned it. We have been bought with a price and we're not our own. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and in our life. It ought to be an encouragement to be the men and women that God wants us to be. So my devotional thoughts are threefold. Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to God the Father. Number two, Jesus is all we need for peace and security. For all eternity, and temporally. And Jesus is all we need for today and tomorrow. They can take away everything from us, and if we have Jesus, we really have all we need. And that, we have to be just meditating on that truth, because who knows what the future holds. Amen? May we go out and share Jesus with others. God intends for us to share the good news. I'm asking this honestly. Are you thankful that Jesus has saved you? Seriously, think about that. I am thrilled that Jesus has saved me. And I am also humbled and thrilled with the privilege to talk to others about Jesus, to encourage them, help them to come to know Jesus, because I know what He did in my life. He changed the way I looked at the whole thing, everything, temporally and future eternally. And yes, we go in ups and downs. We have, you know what? All of us have good days and bad days, don't we? And sometimes it feels like we're getting more bad days than good days. But it doesn't matter if we're going with Jesus. Even in the midst of those, you can experience the power and the peace that only He provides. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to share from Your Word. I pray that it would be an encouragement to all of us. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to go forward for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.